Welcome back. The Quincy Homestead on Butler Road here in Quincy is open for the season with lots of exciting programs planned for you for the rest of the year, and also some improvements that have been made to make it more accessible to everyone. So Paula Pierce and Ron McDonald are here to tell us all about it. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you very much for having us.
It's a pleasure. The first thing I learned, Ron, is it's not called the Dorothy Quincy Homestead anymore. It's just the Quincy Homestead, right?
You know the old saying, a loved child has many names? Well, that's the Dorothy Quincy Homestead.
Okay.
It's been called the Dorothy Q House.
True.
It's been called Quincy House. We've settled on this because we think it makes the most sense for the people of Quincy and our neighboring towns.
When you say we, who's we?
National Society of Colonial Dames of America.
Thank you, Paula. Got to get that plug in there, right?
Got to get that plug in.
I had the Colonial Dames. It was the National Society.
Of Massachusetts.
Well, it's important to recognize because they are the caretakers, right?
Yeah. Caretakers of the property. The property is owned by DCR.
Right.
They maintain it. We basically take care of the furnishings inside, and along with the paying the hot water, paying the air conditioning, which we now have in this house on the visiting center.
Yeah. So. All the unglamorous things that cost money, right?
Yes. And they all support the pay of the docents and pays for the different events we have at the homestead. This year, we're fortunate that the Quincy Art Council has donated us $1,500 to pay for our special events this year.
That's great.
And Quincy is also paid for other things that are going on in the home, different grants. We try to work for grants, and we just finished, I think it was $160,000 to make the first floor accessible to the handicap.
Yes.
With a beautiful handicap bathroom and visiting center.
That's important.
Which is important.
Absolutely, we have some pictures. Can we stop there and show some pictures?
We'll stop there and show some pictures when you're ready.
Because I think it's important to let folks know that, because this is new this year, right?
It's brand new this year.
Yeah. So folks who may not be aware, and show us what we're looking at, Paula.
This is our opening day. It happened like maybe 2 weeks ago. Okay. It's our first tour for the handicap. Mm-hmm. And this gentleman is Drew Parker. Mm-hmm. He was our first guest with his aide. It's myself and Carrie Hawley, who is also a co-chair of the homestead.
Okay, and you can see the ramp right behind him there that he just came
up. And Drew is actually a Quincy resident.
Oh, very good.
And we were thrilled to have him. Yeah. We have no idea how we found out that we had the ramp. And it kind of made my day to see somebody come up the ramp.
I would think so.
Yeah.
We have another photo to show from the interior. This is you showing off a doorway.
Yes. Yeah. So the first floor is accessible. We have all the doorways and handicap.
Yeah.
We have a ramp going from the 1680 kitchen to the
dining room.
Okay.
And so to make this bigger for wheelchairs or walkers, we didn't change the structure of all of the doorways. Mm-hmm. We have it so that I unhinge it and I pull it back, making it handicap accessible.
See, I was assuming you cut that section out, so you didn't. That's just on a hinge.
It's just on a hinge.
We had to leave town if we did.
Yeah, hinge. Oh, I see. Okay. All right.
It's on a hinge. We open it up and it's, you wouldn't even know it was there.
Clever. Okay,
very
good.
It's really clever.
Yeah, let's take a look at the other one here. Here's the ramp from the outside.
This is the ramp from the outside. This is only the temporary ramp.
Oh, all right, okay.
So DCR is going to be putting a permanent fence ramp in with wood, and they're also making a handicap parking space within the property.
That's excellent, yeah. So, and where does this lead to in the homestead?
This leads to the visiting center.
Okay.
And we also have air conditioning in the two rooms that have
really
the visiting center.
The times,
yes. And we're making another room that has it's a handicap bathroom, but it's outside the handicap bathroom. Okay. It's going to be a viewing center of the second floor on TV. So we can show them what the second floor is all about.
Yes.
Dorothy's bedroom, the Flint study, which is really, really great, so they can actually see that.
Yeah. Do you know if this is unique, Paula, to historical homes? Are most of them handicapped accessible?
No, because the Adams isn't.
Right, right.
And Peacefield is not. I know the church is, but.
Just.
And we're just. So we'll probably be looking for, funds or grants to do to pay for the equipment for this particular room to make it a viewing center for people who can need to see what's going up on second floor. Excellent. So it's really phenomenal.
Sure. Ron, we probably should, oh yeah, we do have one more to show.
Okay, this is the, what do we have here? This is the other side of the door.
Okay.
So there's two doors here, and going up the ramp from the old kitchen into the dining room.
Okay. Oh, and that doorway that we see is the one that's on hinges?
Yes, it's part of this. This also has hinges.
Okay. To allow wheelchair access.
What we need to do is get to 32 inches.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the width of a typical wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you want to account and give a little more room for people who have the hands
of course.
On the wheels.
Yeah.
Or maybe they have somebody pushing it.
Yeah.
But this is all made possible from the citizens of Quincy.
Yeah, that's excellent.
It's excellent, you know.
Here's what we ask Ron to tell us a little bit of history about the Quincy homesteads.
Oh, I've been dying to do that. So I always start off my tour by explaining to people that this isn't just a story about Dorothy Quincy Hancock.
Right.
It's about the four generations of Quincy's who lived here, the 32 children who were born here. And it isn't about one house. It's really about three different houses. Mm. And it isn't even just about the Quincy's. It's about the wonderful people who took ownership of this house over the period until colonial dames were able to step in, who treated it as wealthy people do treat their summer homes. They kept it nice. They spent a lot of money on it. The Peter Butlers, the Elaney family, Moses Black, all of those people treated this as it were their own home.
Mm.
Okay? So we're very fortunate for that. And then we're also fortunate to have this home in a city that appreciates the history. The National Park Service,
yes.
Historic New England, ourselves, all of those people come and visit the property. They bring guests. They talk it up. The city supports us in so many different ways. So it's fun. And then I get into telling them, however, when all of this began in 1633 for Edmund Quincy I, this was truly the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
And between him and a fellow you're all familiar with, William Coddington, they purchased 1,000 acres. Coddington got 600. Edmund Quincy got 4. I can't explain that other than to say Coddington was the treasurer of the Massachusetts Bay Colony.
Okay.
So that may have been a link right there.
Yeah.
So they moved in. Edmund Quincy arrived with his wife, Judith, and 6 servants and his 2 children, Edmund and Judith. Edmund, who would become Edmund Quincy II, was 5 years old at the time. They went through a lot. Edmund Quincy was accepted by the church and by the governing body. And 2 years later, Edmund Quincy died out of nowhere.
Mm.
We don't know exactly where or how, and we don't even know where he's buried. So that's one of the great mysteries. Maybe you could take that on here at the station and try to find out what happened.
Yes, with our vast resources.
So it's fun. We don't typically use a script because we immerse ourselves in the homestead.
I see. When you say we, so docents?
The other docents,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And there's a scant few of us, unfortunately.
Is that right? Yeah, no, it's one of the things Paula wants to talk about today is more docents are needed.
And it's a fun thing to do because we get people from all over the state,
sure.
all over the United States,
mm-hmm.
people from foreign countries,
mm-hmm.
and they're here because Quincy is such a historic place and we're one of the places to go to. Heck, you only have to drive by it on Hancock Street. It's gorgeous. It's a beautiful
place. It makes quite a statement. But the house that's there today is not the original, right, Ron? It's,
well, that's right.
Or part of it is.
No, part of it is. The original part of the house, when I bring people into that, I welcome them to Downton Abbey.
Ah.
and I said, no, it isn't. But this is really a 1681 house.
Yeah.
And we've tried to keep it as close to that.
Right.
As we could.
Right.
And it was built by Edmund Quincy II. His first wife died. He remarried Elizabeth Gookin Elliott, who was a recent widow. And they built this house together.
Okay. Okay. Now, it's not on 400 acres anymore.
Not anymore.
No.
A couple of acres.
Okay.
And one of the things that's intriguing about this house is that it's a timber frame construction using mortise and tenon joints.
Mm-hmm.
Think of a hole and a wedge go in. And this is what joins them together. Mm-hmm. And then a hole is drilled through it. And I have a pin I show them, an actual pin. Mm-hmm. And this is driven in. And that's what's holding this up.
Yeah.
And I say, now, sometimes people run for the door when I tell them that. But
it's probably stronger 60, than a lot of stick frame buildings.
It's still standing
today,
here. The 1635 house that Edmund Quincy built was timber frame construction as well. And that didn't come down until 1893.
Yeah.
And only because a school had to be built there.
Oh, all right.
It could, if the colonial dames had gotten there a few months earlier, that's,
might still
that
be
would
here.
Still be on our property.
Right, right,
okay?
Right.
So that's built the same way.
Yeah.
So that's the story of those two houses. When Edmund Quincy II dies in 1698, Edmund Quincy III is at entering his last year at Harvard. Okay? So within that next year, he leaves Harvard, he inherits all of this property. It's a vast estate now, it's a lot of land. And the next year, his wife dies. So Edmund Quincy III marries the love of his life, Dorothy Flint. And between them, they create this addition to the 1681 house.
Okay.
And when you go through it, you realize that it's timber frame construction.
Yeah.
The same as the 1681 house. Same kind of pins, except now things are clad. You don't have the bare beam showing. There's paint on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
The paint.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have to understand that as you go into the first room, the dining room, that you've stepped forward a number of years, but what we're showing you now is what happened for the next 50 or 100 years with different variations from Edmund Quincy III and the fourth, etc. And then we go into some other things, too.
I don't want to run out of time.
I know.
Because there's just a variety of programs.
I am a windbag. I know.
No, not at all. No, I mean, it requires, you know, that
it's a lot to tell.
But for our purposes, we really want to tell folks what's happening at the homestead.
Because yes,
you want folks to come out, right?
And
we want to hear the full story.
Yes.
And you don't
want
to give away too much. The first rule in showbiz.
They want to come and see me.
That's right. So, Paula, there's actually five different events.
Five different events. They are sponsored by the Quincy Council, which is the Massachusetts Art Council. They gave us $1,500 this year to special events.
Excellent.
Next event is on June 28th, where we're having the mayor of Quincy read the Declaration of Independence. We're going to have red coats and blue coats for the children to march, along with a fife and piper that will practice doing marching, no guns, and which is really, really nice. And we have some colonial games that the kids can try.
Nice.
So it's going to be, and we're going to be serving free ice cream.
Ah,
okay.
Yeah, so that's 10:30 on the 29th.
That's
showing folks there. Okay.
And we also have the Plymouth Plantation is coming this summer to do corn husk.
Dolls.
Thank you, dolls. and they're coming, and the kids and adults, if they want to, they make the corn house dolls.
It's in August, I think, isn't it?
It's in August. Okay, we have a spinner coming back this year. That's also in August. She will be teaching weaving and spinning techniques that she has learned throughout her lifetime. And my favorite one in July is colonial chocolate making. I think this is going to be a fantastic event. He will be selling some of his colonial chocolate at there. But, you know, come and get a taste of the colonial chocolate.
So that's July 13th, 11 to 2. We're showing folks here with Robert Lecce, is that his name? From Pewter Pot Fine Spiced Chocolates. Ooh, okay.
So it's, you know.
My wife will be the first one to arrive.
Now, will folks actually get to make chocolate at this?
I don't think so.
Right.
I'm not too sure. I know when we had the printer, they were practicing printing.
Yes.
The events, and I think it's a great idea for people to see how it was done every year in the past. So I'm looking forward to the whole event this summer.
This is the most active I think that the homestead's been in quite a while. We're showing the tours that are available coming up on July 27th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. So when is the homestead open, Paula?
It's open on those Saturdays from 11 to
two.
Last tour is at 1:30.
Okay, right.
During it. If we would love to be open more, but we don't have the volunteers to do every single Saturday.
Yeah.
Hopefully down the road we'll have enough to to be open those because it's a great treasure of Quincy.
So we should talk about that. How can one become a docent?
You can contact the National Dames, the Colonial Dames of America of Massachusetts. Their link is on the webpage, and they can contact me by that avenue.
Okay.
Or just show up on a Saturday and say,
right?
Hey, I want to volunteer.
Well,
and I want to put a shout out for Rebecca Dinsmore, who has been gardening those gardens for the past 40 years.
Wow.
And she's really dedicated to that.
Yeah. Is there a training involved?
We have a script.
Okay.
That the people go by, can go by. We wouldn't put you on the first, tour by yourself. We have enough people doing that that can train you.
Yep.
And when you feel comfortable that you can do tours.
They can walk through with an experienced tour.
Tour group's usually about 10 people per tour,
okay.
Tour we allow during the season, and it's every half hour from those time periods.
Yeah.
So it's absolutely phenomenal. And we're also in partnership with Bob Damon's group, mm-hmm. with the city historian, and we have high school kids that are actually training to be docents.
No kidding. Wow.
Right, and it's a wonderful program for them. We appreciate all the help.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So is there any cost for the tours?
The cost is a $10 donation.
A $10 donation, okay.
You don't have to, you know, just come and see the, but that's what we suggest.
Absolutely, sure. Ron, we should mention Dorothy Quincy. She was the first lady of Massachusetts, right?
Certainly was.
We cannot not talk about her homestead without talking about Dorothy.
You can't. And Dorothy, of course, married John Hancock in 1775 in Fairfield, Connecticut.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. Thaddeus Burr and Eunice Burr were close friends of Thomas Hancock, John Hancock's adopted father.
Oh,
okay.
All right.
So that's why they went out there to get married. Now, at the same time, John was at the Second Continental Congress, so Dorothy was there at the house with Lydia.
I see.
Lydia, okay? And that was going fine until Thaddeus had a nephew who was going to college in the neighborhood, and he and Dorothy seemed to hit it off a little bit. So she got off a quick letter to John Hancock to say, as soon as it's over, get here.
Yep.
Well, it's a good thing he did, because the young fellow that was interested in her was a fellow named Aaron Burr.
Ah.
You know, the good shot Aaron Burr?
Right.
Yeah. So, anyway, they were married and went off to Penn, and the history is there.
See, these are the stories that you'll get when you take these tours.
Yeah,
you get really into the family dynamics of what was happening at the time. They were just people, too, right? Just going through a different time. Yeah.
She was the last child born to Edmund Quincy IV.
Yeah.
She also outlived all her siblings by 20 years.
Huh.
She was 83 when she died.
Wow.
She was living in Bonn. Had a terrible, like so many people in history, they had the great lives and then they had all these catastrophes.
Yeah.
And in the kitchen we have a sausage maker, which we show off. And we allow guests to say, what do you think this was used for?
Uh-huh.
But my favorite is the eel rake, which the Hancocks, or the Quincys in the Adamses, they all went into Black's Creek and scooped up eels.
Okay.
Delicacies.
See, things you don't know yet.
See, things you don't know yet when you, little cute things you don't know about.
Thank you both. I hope you have a great season.
Well, thank you very much for having us.
Our
pleasure.
Good time.